His name is Stafford Marcy. He is the general manager at WeWork South Africa. He became famous in South Africa when he was the managing director of Google in South Africa, and he's done lots of interesting things, and now you're back in a proper job.
I know, it's weird. It feels weird to go in at 8 and clock out at 5. It's a weird feeling, but it's a good feeling.
Why? What made you go back to a real job?
You know what was interesting was the interview that I had with the two co-founders of WeWork last year, and what they told me
before hell broke loose.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Before then, and the vision and the mission and the objective and what they were trying to do, and which the company is still embarking to do today, is probably one of the most glorious, ambitious visions, and it's becoming a reality.
What is that vision? What is the?
Well, I love one of the things that was said was we want to build the world's largest physical social network. That really resonated with me. And I think a place where, like WeWork, is a place where people connect. It's not just a co-working space. It's a place where 70%+ of our members globally trade and communicate and do business with each other. You know, you've got a guy sitting at our Rosebank offices. He taps me on the shoulder and says, you're the GM of WeWork, right? I said, yes. He says, look at this invoice. And it's an invoice for 18,000 odd rand. So I laugh. I said, it's an invoice for me. He says, no, this is for Naspers. And he shows me the WeWork member application, and on there show an announcement that was 2 days old when Naspers asked, is there a graphic designer in the building? He said, yes. He ran up. He did 2 days worth of work for them. 18 grand later, pays for his fees for 9 months. That's what WeWork's all about. That's the magic. It's not just a beautiful co-working space. It's where your business can actually survive. And
what does it look like? I mean, you've got three properties in South Africa. One in Cape Town, mm-hmm. in Strand Street. Mm-hmm. You've got one in the old Discovery building in West Street. Yeah. And another one in Rosebank.
That's right. So the link in Rosebank was the one that we announced. That was the first one. That has almost 2,500 desks in it. And that building was... I think that is the personification of the value proposition actually coming into existence. It is a building, like I said, 2,500 desks. We filled it. We fully subscribed the building from the day we opened up the doors in 7 weeks. We filled the building in about 5 months. That's the fastest velocity of occupation of a building in ratio to that size in the history of South Africa. We've never seen a building that size densify with that velocity before.
Where were all these people?
I mean, interesting question.
It's just like all these people are sitting, working in coffee shops and sitting in cars.
Well, that's not the demographic of people that's inside of WeWork. People think it's just startups. Startups make up about 10 to 13% of our demographic. You know, you got emerging startup businesses. And these guys are, they're scaling and they've got VCs behind them, and VCs are sitting down with us and saying, hey, we want a strategic partnership. When we invest in a company, we don't want that company to think about space. We don't want to think about amenities. We don't want them to think about furniture. We want them to think about the next engineer they're going to hire, the next line of code. We're going to put them inside of a WeWork. So we got those type of partnerships. But 43% of our space is occupied by Naspers, Standard Bank, IBM Red Hat, Platform 45. These are companies that are putting their digital innovation teams inside of our space. Because if you're an enterprise, it's not about the innovation. It's about who's going to do that innovation and where are they going to be. And those are the millennials. And millennials don't want to work in a pretty building that looks static all the time. They want to be in a WeWork. Because all the value propositions of a WeWork is you can go from building to building anywhere in the world, tap in, and you just connect. And what happens inside of a WeWork? I mean, we're one of the largest events companies in the entire world. We do events for the LGBTQIT community. We're one of the largest meat-free enterprises in the entire world. Our coffee is not just beautiful free coffee, but it's delivered by a barrister, female black, that is mute. She can't speak. She's deaf. And she's delivering coffee. That's impact and purpose, and that's where the millennials want to be. So if you're going to do the next blockchain project, the value proposition around flex, is it going to be 20 people today and then 2,000 next week or next year or back down to 10? WeWork gives you that monetary value proposition around flex space. That's the meat and potato stuff. But to hire millennials and to retain millennials, they want to be inside of a WeWork. And that's what we see. We see the big organizations deploying those teams.
I find it so interesting that big corporates are saying, okay, take our propeller heads and put them into that space, because they'll be a lot more productive there interacting with people like them, mm-hmm. and learning from each other and collaborating with each other than they will if we put them with our accountants down in the basement.
And it's also a place where you find people. Right. You find these millennials. You find those folks that are developing the next generation of services. Partnerships occur. So it's an incredible place. It is definitively today, considering its size, the number of locations where it's in, the size of the buildings themselves. WeWork doesn't just take one little floor somewhere. WeWork usually has, you know, 1,000 desks or more in a particular location. That existence, that footprint makes a city a campus. makes the globe a campus. And people say, well, you're not a technology company. I haven't seen this amount of technology employed in a company before.
But you're Ubering, you're Airbnb-ing, you are providing the mechanism and the space and the environment for those people to come in. You're not employing them, you're not hiring them. Correct. They're coming and effectively renting your space. I think you're starting out at like 3,000 Rand a month if you want to have a desk designated to you.
You're right. I mean, it starts even before then. You know, folks, things like, we own a company called Flatiron. And Flatiron is a company that's one of the largest, most successful coding schools. It's where enterprises bring and reskill their staff. It's a place where you can go and learn the next derivative of Java. And the vision there is we train you and then we put you into WeWork Labs. We'll be launching WeWork Labs in South Africa. And that's a place where we incubate you. We mentor you and your 2-3-man shop pops out into a WeWork hot desk area, and we continue to look at your company. So we've got folks, which is the secret sauce to our business. That's our community team. People that are assigned to floors, they hired, they have a particular type of profile that we hire. Those people are not just concierge services. They need to understand the state of your capital raise situation in your company. We want to know. And what I do is I get together with that team and we find out that company is about to run out of money. That company just raised capital, and we connect or we help them. We introduce them to a VC, and that's what I'm doing a majority of the time. Why? Because when they're successful, they take more space.
I'm beginning to think I know why you took the job.
Yeah. It's
like you've just had 3 cans of Red Bull. I mean, it's that energizing.
Yeah, it is energizing. And I tell you what's amazing about it is having the opportunity to work with this amazing team. The team inside of WeWork, the people that I get to work with every day, incredible team. And what we're doing is building an Africa strategy inside of WeWork. I did this inside of Google and it was so much fun, and I'm getting to do it again for WeWork. This time it's a little bit different because by doing this, it's not just doing it for one company. You actually putting African innovation on a platform for the world to see. And you're incurring success. You're helping with success. And that's an interesting thing to see. Because if you're inside of a WeWork, a little African startup, now I've been in the startup game for years. Like I've got 2 other startups outside of WeWork today. When you're inside of a WeWork, the ability for you to gain access to skills that are not in South Africa is really, really possible now. Because all you get is the guy in Sydney that's a Java developer. You get him a WeWork card and you tell him, you know what, you start tomorrow and you go to that WeWork and you tap in and you're productive and you're connected. The guy in London, the girl in New York. You can create a global organization as a little startup, and all the amenities, the beautiful desks, the meeting rooms, etc., become just part of your business. And that's how you scale.
Did you, in October last year, think it was all going to end in tears? Because what happened then, Adam Newman, one of the co-founders, one of the guys you would have met with in the middle of last year, to talk about the vision and the plan, came out of the valuation, and markets went, you want to raise capital and you think it's worth what?
Right.
We don't think so. And it turned into something of a corporate governance scandal.
We apologize for that. You know, if you take a look at what Adam was trying to do, but take a step back. Take a look at what WeWork is. There is no company like it on the planet today. It is a company that employs technology in a very unique way. Take a look at its footprint. Take a look at how much money has gone into the company today and look at the net resultant. Sometimes we need the crazies. There's definitely a time when a startup is in a particular position where the founder is very important and he's pushing ambitions that are out of this world, and he gets a backer to push that. Right? And that was Adam Newman. Yes, the IPO. We apologize for what occurred there. It was interesting the way Adam saw the world and the way, you know, some of the folks around him saw the world. But the immunities of the market kicked in and said, whoa, stop. And I actually think it was great that we did an IPO, because now we have leadership inside of the company. Marcelo McClure, he's incredible as a chairman. We've got Sandeep that's come in. He's got a real great real estate brain. And what we're focusing on now, example, when I came inside of WeWork, it was about desks. Now it's about the pro forma. Now it's about responsible growing. And I tell you what, we're going to grow. We're going to be double our size as an organization globally by Q4 this year. We're not going to grow by going off and, you know, buying buildings or signing long-term leases and taking on all those liabilities, because the street doesn't want to see that. So we can do that in a creative way. We could do it in an asset light way. We can have intermediaries. We could do it in a way where it's franchise driven. So there's ways to grow and maintain that growth with responsible leaders that really understand how to drive a P&L. And that's what we are right now.
Stephen Massey is the general manager of WeWork South Africa. Fascinating discussion as to why he went off and got a real job, which doesn't sound like a real job at all. It's a real job with steroids, legal ones attached. Well, it's at one point last year, you would have been, nobody would have blamed you for thinking, Stafford Massey may have blamed you for thinking that the WeWork dream was over. The IPO fell flat. The chief executive and the founder, Adam Neumann, was booted out. New management was brought in. And there are now how many WeWork premises around the world?
Look, and if you take a look at the numbers, we're in we have almost 700,000 members in our space. We're in 140 cities across 37 countries. We have 11,000 employees, and you know, most of the S&P 500, the Nasdaq companies have space in our space. You know, most of what Amazon occupies in terms of real estate in Europe are WeWorks.
So, are you like McDonald's? Are you a property company?
It's interesting because when you blend technology so deeply into an organization, it kind of redefines it, right? So, you know, is Uber a taxi company with an app? No, it's not. It's an AI of disparate species coagulating into data lakes that deliver services that's previously unimaginable, right? From a transportation perspective. I think WeWork that's a metaphor for WeWork.
Sure.
When you take technology and you overlay it into property and suddenly you can deliver a service that was previously unimaginable. The ability to, when you sign in Rosebank or you go around the corner, you're at 155 West and we sign you up and you get your little black WeWork card. And you connect to our systems and services, you can that morning fly to any WeWork in the entire world, tap, connect automatically. When I walk in London, when my phone vibrates, I know I'm near WeWork. You know, because the way we federate identity and that technology layer, I speak to people inside of WeWork and I don't think they understand what they have. I think they just accept that this is the way the world works. But I mean, I worked at Google. Google doesn't work that way from a property perspective. I mean, Facebook, I know, doesn't work that way. So even the most technological companies out there, see a value proposition in this layer that we've built. It's an incredible organization from a pure tech perspective.
If I walk into a WeWork, what do I see?
I think what you'll meet, first of all, is a lot of humanity. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful. It's that community team. It's those people that meet you, that greet you.
And these are your employees.
And authenticity is so important to us. So those folks are authentically interested in you. They're people. They love human beings. They love what they do. And, you know, you'll see when you explore our building, you'll see the way it's designed. There's a lot of experience in there around space. You'll see a lot of people in a building, but it's not crowded. You'll see beautiful phone booths that are soundproof. You'll see a community area. You'll see amenities that are fascinating. You'll see meeting rooms that you can access through the mobile app. And the mobile app makes it all come together, right? So you register and you say, I'm Stafford and these are my skills and this is my company. And you publish yourself up into the ether, the WeWork ether. And so many people can discover you. You can discover what's happening. You can sit in London, and I'll never forget this, meeting somebody on a community floor in London. And I asked him when I was interviewing, and I said, why do you like WeWork? And he opened up the mobile app and he showed me that very afternoon there was going to be 7 to 9 events happening in 7 to 9 buildings around him. And it ranged from mindfulness through to, you know, doing something for the LGBTQIT community, through to a lawyer doing a pro bono session for startups, etc. So it's a place where you don't just go because it's beautiful. It's a place where you can connect the disparate humanity.
And it's funded by memberships.
Yes.
So it's like, is it a bit like gentlemen's clubs of the 19th century?
I guess you could call it that. But I mean, being a part of the WeWork community is a very special thing.
It's the Rand Club of 2020.
Look, it's incredible. We do all these events, but it's quite fascinating to see how well attended the, you know, make your own vegan burger sessions are. You know, where you got all these people. And the nice thing is they're sitting and you see, you know, you'll see someone from Naspers there. You'll see someone from Platform for Free, from Red Hat. Then you'll see a little startup there. And you'll see a one-man show coming in. And all these people are connecting and they're talking to each other. We did like a speed dating service the other day. I mean, I didn't even know this was happening. I walked in and I just saw people speed dating, but it was speed networking, where you literally had a minute to introduce yourself, what you do, to the other person. And we had people just moving up and down. And that connection creates a vibe that you can't find anywhere else. Yes, you find places like us that do co-working. You find pretty buildings, but you just don't find that human connection. I think that's what makes it extremely special.
Is the next WeWork office in South Africa, or is it somewhere else on the African continent?
What we're focusing on right now is we have a 98%, 99% occupancy right now at the Link in Rosebank. That building has a waiting list. It's full. It's pumping. People love it. There's lots of events happening there all the time. It's a great place just to be. We're focusing right now on filling Sandton and filling 80 Strand in Cape Town. We want to take a look at doing asset light type deals. We're reviewing the notion of a franchise within the broader context of Africa. That's my responsibility right now, is to take a look at the broader expansion. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we want to be a company globally that doubles our size. So absolutely, Africa is important. We want to have a greater presence in Africa. There's nothing to announce right now, but it's one of my top priorities right now to work on that expansion plan. I mean, it's clear the corridors are well mapped. You take a look at the banks, you take a look at telcos in South Africa, you can see where they go. You know, you go to, you know, it's Accra, it's Lagos, it's Nairobi, it's Mauritius. Those are the well-trodden paths, and it's clear that we need to have a presence there.
There's a C word that we got to talk about, and that's coronavirus. I mean, the model stands up really well, provided there isn't a pandemic. As long as people trust each other, as long as people don't feel like they go into a space, that they might come out with the disease. And that's got to be very real for you.
I think it's a flip side. What we're actually seeing, increased interest. So corporations are saying, we don't want to just send our people home. Okay, let's take a step back.
We'll send them to you.
Yeah, so I had a chat with Sim Shabalala, CEO of Standard Bank. Like, he's got quite a few desks that we work. So his innovation team sit in our space, etc. He articulated to me and some of the execs over there that when they allowed working from home, over a period of time, they actually discovered a couple of things. Number one, it was more expensive. Because if you have disparate people working and connecting through various ISPs and suddenly they can't connect to the corporate thing, they're calling the corporate tech department and they're dealing with Vuma, then they're dealing with this ISP, etc., etc. It was more expensive and complicated. Number two is people were depressed and actually overworking themselves. Yeah. And the third thing is it's lonely. So what we're seeing is, yes, I think the coronavirus will push everyone to go work at home, but I think those things will kick in. And I think the net result of this, people will start moving into WeWorks. Now, we take the coronavirus very seriously. We have a policy associated with it. We've increased our cleaning in our building. So we're cleaning everything. We have a response team. We're engaging very deeply with members around their travel. We've stopped all travel globally. So non-essential business travel is not allowed inside of WeWork as of just a few days ago. So all our employees, our staff, local and international, we're not traveling right now. So, we do see people moving more and more, you know, into working from home, but we think, you know, corporations are going to be real interested in WeWork moving forward. I think what you see with Corona, you know, from a technologist perspective, I'm seeing the emergence of remote working really happening. The cloud is definitely being stress tested right now. You know, companies like Zoom are going to innovate and they're going to deliver services because this is a massive opportunity.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're going to see some new innovations coming from this.
It can fundamentally change the architecture of the world of work.
Yeah, and how corporations are structured. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think WeWork's prepared for that. I think we built for that.
Stefan Massey, nice to see you. Good that you got the back-in-the-day job that's got you completely invigorated.
And you know the first thing I'm going to do after this? I'm going to go buy the upside of Down.
Got to wait till the 25th of the month. It's not in the bookshop
yet. Can't you pre-purchase yet?
You can pre-purchase. Yes, you can go online. You can go to your favorite pre-purchase place. Please go and do that.
I think it's quite ironical, the upside of Down, considering where the world is today.
And that was my vision 3 months ago.